we're sponsored by Overcast, an independent podcast app that embraces the open world of podcasting instead of locking it down.
Listen here, no exclusives, no premium content, no paywalls. Just a great podcast app for everyone.
Get it for free.
In the App Store? That was some silly business just then. Hello, I missed you. I feel like I haven't seen you in like 8 years.
Mackenzie, it's been 10 years. How old are we now?
12.
Yeah.
We started this podcast when we were one.
Milky spitty uppy, am I right?
You know, our anniversary is coming up as a pod.
Whoa. Did you know that? How many years has it been?
I think two, genuinely. I think we might be hitting year two on May 13th.
What is the two-year anniversary? Two-year...
Oh, I feel like the early ones are like paper and shit, yeah.
Yeah. Cotton?
So I just get you a nice, like, t-shirt from Hanes or something?
Yeah. We should draw each other t-shirts.
Oh, we should. Our anniversary, man. It's a big deal.
What if for our ultimate anniversary, for when we are done with the show, we each draw each other our favorite housewife and we get that tattooed on our body?
I feel like when we finish this, we absolutely should get tattoos.
Yeah.
Like I would get like a little apple on my arm or something, or like something to represent Wisteria Gays and Desperate Housewives. Like, I absolutely would go get a matching tattoo with you to commemorate our show.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm holding you to it now, and so is everyone else.
And everybody that's listening, you're welcome to also get a tattoo. We all get tattoos as our journey ends. Can I tell you something else?
Oh, yeah.
I waited until we were on the air to tell you. This has nothing to do with Desperate Housewives.
Good.
So I know your on and off girlfriend is Ida.
Yeah. What about her?
Well, it's not about her. It's about your OG girlfriend, Rachel Lee Cook.
Rachel Lee Cook? Wait.
Have you heard the news about Rachel Lee Cook? She's going to be in a new movie about Spirit Halloween stores.
This is a joke.
No, it's not.
Mackenzie,
I wanted to tell you live,
Mackenzie,
on air.
I know that it's a little bit past April Fool's Day, but this is a joke. It's okay. You don't. This is a joke.
No, it's her and Christopher Lloyd, aka Doc from Back to the Future. And let me see if I can find.
Is it a Hallmark movie?
No, I don't know. Here is what the press release says. It's going to be called Spirit Halloween.
No.
Focusing on three middle school friends who dare one another to spend the night locked inside a Spirit Halloween store. And quote, they soon find out that the store is haunted by an angry evil spirit who has possessed the animatronic characters. AKA, it's like Five Nights at Freddy's, but in a Spirit Halloween.
Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that Rachel Lee Cook is in it, and I wanted to tell you that.
That is.
You're live on person. That has nothing to do with Desperate Housewives.
I have ever heard in my life. I need you to. What article are you sending so I can actually verify that this is real?
It's people.com. If you Google Rachel Lee Cook news, it's there. She's on the internet. I don't know who she's playing.
She obviously is either playing Mrs. Halloween and/or the spirit.
That's
people.com. Okay, I found it.
Jaden Smith is in this? Oh my God.
I have to send this to everybody I know.
So I just wanted to tell you that. Maybe we watch it for our little Patreon. Maybe that's how it connects to our show. But I just, I've been sitting on that news all morning. So I needed to tell you because I heard it this morning.
Thank God. I have not been on the internet this morning. I've been watching a lot of Saved by the Bell recently.
Oh, I love that for you.
Oh, yeah. You
sent me that amazing clip of Jesse Spano as Nomi Malone in the
There's robot. A whole it, that bit, that showgirls bit lasts like 10 minutes. Like it is very good.
You know what, when we hang out like this, it makes me just want to have a podcast where we just literally have a conversation. We don't talk about anything. We just talk about our days. But hey, maybe that's our secondary podcast, because our primary podcast is Wisteria Gaze. You want to dive into this, Sodi?
Yeah.
Let's shift.
Give me the facts.
I got my fucking gear shift. I'm fucking... And we're going to go into the episode, and eventually, yeah, maybe we'll just make a podcast where we fuck around and do nothing. But this episode 319, I think, I'm really on it right now, premiered April 22nd, 2007. That's dangerously close to where we are currently right now. So we're kind of catching up with the series.
Oh, wait, that's next week.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We're catching up. It was written by Davi Waller and Josh Center and directed by Larry Shaw for hashtag Sondheim Watch. God, that's good comes from the musical Sweeney Todd that I love. God, that's good slaps. I have a couple fun facts from this episode that I saw on the Wikipedia. Fun fact, this episode, as you may have noticed, because to me it was jarring, this marks the first time Penny speaks on screen.
Yeah.
That was really cute. She's adorable in that scene. And I just thought that was funny. I don't know. It's not really a fun fact. It's just a literal fact. But I also saw this on the Wikipedia, and I need to know who was paying this much attention and then went to write this on Wikipedia. Just in time for Passover. Chag Sameach, everybody. This is going to come out the first night of Passover. A little Jewish trivia here. They said that when Gabby opens the door for the blackmailer in this episode, you can see a mezuzah in Victor's doorway. And for those who don't know, a mezuzah is a Jewish custom. It's basically a small wooden case that you put next to your door. It's a mitzvah. It has a bit of a Torah scroll in it. And so there's like, this person is like, Victor makes no reference to being Jewish, though this does exist in his home. I think it's more likely that the owner of the home they shot in is probably Jewish. But I do think that's funny that there's, I guess, maybe a strange implication that Victor's Jewish. I don't know.
I like that. Good for him.
I just thought that was, I was like, I love whoever wrote this on Wikipedia. Shout out to that person. Oh, and we also have Wisteria International. Good Lord, I forgot. Hey, not very fun names, but in France, this was called Alone in the Dark.
Whoa.
And in Germany, this was called Power Blackout. And that's all I got. Hello, everybody. Just popping in to say there were some technical difficulties here. And for these first, 4 minutes, we lost Ned's audio. So I am just kind of talking to myself in this audio. But you still got to know what happens in the epi. So this first bit is me, and then you'll hear them return. So sorry. 2 weeks in a row. Man, we are full of technical difficulties. Look at us. That's life. We open on Tuesday night, and the power has gone out on Wisteria Lane, and the opening monologue is just sort of about how, the darkness can prove useful to hide secrets, and we see, some kid looking at his dad's Playboy and, a woman smoking, but the big one we see is that Klusky is, hiding a dead body in her basement, and when the power goes out, that doesn't really bode well for keeping a frozen body frozen when your freezer uses electricity to stay up. So she starts to freak out. She's on the phone with Ida, I think, just talking about getting some batteries for some flashlights. She fucking falls down the stairs. I thought Klusky is about to fucking die. I was so scared. But she falls down the stairs, and that's kind of all we get, right? It's like a cliffhanger into the opening credits. And we get this quick little scene with Susan and Ian, and she's looking for matches and flashlights. And there's not a ton that happens in this scene with it's just like an opportunity for Susan to break shit and have shenanigans. But the important thing is that Ian just all of a sudden is like, you're right. I have been too jealous. Why don't we invite Mike to dinner? And I couldn't tell. I'm like, are you trying to unicorn hunt Mike? It felt very strange, because he was like, we should just bury the hatchet. We should just invite Mike and treat him to dinner. And they should have a threesome. They really would help a lot, probably. But, Susan's just kind of freaking out. She tries to distract him with sex. And I think it's very heavy handed that they're like hammering in how cool Ian is with Mike now the second after she kissed him. I know that they're doing that as writers, but I think it's very funny how heavy-handed that is. But that's kind of that scene.
We then cut to Edie and Carlos smooching on a bed. Whose bed? Carlos's. We know this because Mike comes a knock, knock, knocking on that door with a flashlight for Carlos because it's so dark, bro. How are you going to be able to see? How are you going to be able to read all your books and get that big brain, bro? It's kind of just like the scene of Edie hiding behind the door while Carlos tries to tell Mike that I'm alone, I'm definitely alone here, and there's no women.
And like, yeah, when I thought that was funny, this I'm so confused by Carlos and Edie, because like Mike eventually leaves and they kind of have this short conversation where Edie is like, I think it's so funny that like we get the implication that Carlos doesn't want Mike to know because him and Edie dated or something. And Edie is like, we dated for 2 fucking seconds. Like, Mike's not going to give a shit. And I fully agree with her that Mike's not going to give a shit. Because he was always in love with Susan and still is. So it doesn't really matter. But like, I am in a place where I don't hate Edie and Carlos as a concept. But I just do feel bad for Edie because she's just like, why are we hiding our relationship? It literally doesn't matter if anyone knows. And we find out more, right, later, why Carlos is kind of keeping it on the DL. But
yeah.
I'm just like, man, they're a cute concept to me. Like, I don't hate them, but I want him to get his shit together. Queen Edie.
I agree. Ugh. And then, still in a blackout, we go to Scavo's Pizzeria. Lynette is wearing her beautiful neon orange shirt. And she's there with Rick lighting candles because they have hungry customers who are, one, unhappy about the blackout. Two, unhappy about the food.
I cannot imagine if I am in a restaurant and a blackout that is not in the restaurant's control happens, why I would be mad at the restaurant.
Oh.
Like, clearly, like, not anyone's fault that happened.
I know that we spent some time talking about bad job stories last time, but to get into a small one, truly, there was a day where I was working at a movie theater, and it was in a mall, so there was a gate down. My manager was late, and so, like, there were people for morning movies that were coming in late, and every single one of them asked for popcorn as soon as the gate came up. Like, none of us even were in the theaters yet. Like, no lights were on. And they were like, we want to buy popcorn!
That is insane! Like, yeah. What? That don't make no sense. That sounds like Boomhauer. That don't make no sense.
It's like, I don't care. Yeah.
It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense, man. That's like literally every uncle I grew up with is Boomhauer from King of the Hill. That's so dumb. That's just so dumb. And so Rick, you know, he's a freaking ace chef. He's thinking on his feet. It's so funny. He's like, some dummy made the it's like a weird little like low-key bite at Tom, and he's like, some dummy made the pizza oven's electric. It's like probably a money thing, dude. But because the stove is gas, he can cook things on the stovetop, which means he can make pasta. He's like, I can whip up a spaghetti carbonara. You charge $20 for it and we're gonna do great. And this sets off just the whole thing of the whole episode between Rick. I think that's all we get for the scene now, right? Because then we get a lot of this later. We get a lot of the food drama going further in the episode.
Yeah, for now, we have to cut to Gabby and what she's doing in the blackout. And what she's doing is having sex in an elevator.
Yeah, they're getting horny. Eventually he doesn't, or first he doesn't want to, but eventually he's like, nah, I'm horny, I'll do this.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to because of security cameras in the elevator. But Gabby reassures him because the security cameras are off because of the blackout. How's anybody gonna possibly see? And so, yeah, they start going down to the
going downtown
bottom floor.
Top
floor. Top floor.
You gotta move around to all the floors.
It's a Willy Wonka situation.
You gotta get into all those floors if you want to get it all going on. But the power comes on pretty quickly. The firemen are like, "You guys okay?" And they're like, "Yep, we're great." And then that's when we, as the audience, get the pan of, "Ooh, there's a security camera there." Like, fucking obviously. And then we cut back to the neighborhood.
The neighborhood, and Klusky is going to the hospital. In the neighborhood right now, the blackout is seemingly still happening. She is worrying, telling Ida, like, "Oh, I got stuff," or not telling Ida quite, but
just like the paramedics. Yeah, she's like, I have
stuff in my basement that's gonna go bad if I don't take care of it. And lights come on. Klusky realizes, okay, I'm in the clear. Take me away. But
cowboy, take me away.
And as that specific song plays, we zoom, we computer enhance into Klusky's basement as her freezer short circuits, meaning, "Oh, we're in trouble, Scroob."
Do you know, I know this, I've seen this obviously, so I didn't, I knew this wasn't true, but in this moment I thought, what if he was just cryogenically frozen but alive, and he just wakes up and he's like, that's the plot.
Do you want to talk about this next scene?
Sure. Yeah, it's pretty short. It's a little, once again, I'm realizing I like don't hate a lot of the couples in this show, because this scene, I loved Gabby and Victor in this scene. It's pretty cute. She brings him some burnt waffles and he's like, "I want to marry you. And I'm going to ask you in a real way, but I'm just like letting you know that I want to marry you." And I think that's very sweet. Like him just being like upfront, being like, and I feel like, you know, it feels kind of quick, right? But I feel like I've seen in a lot of media, like when you're of a certain age, you know what I mean? Like you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s, you're settled. You know what you want. Like you've, especially if you've been married before and you just, you know what the process is like, you're ready to just spend your life with somebody. Like he seems like a really direct and honest guy in a way. Like he's grown so much on me, I cannot believe, as a person. And so I just really liked this. And they gave her some good like lines to act. Not that she has like bad lines, but sometimes they get nervous to give her anything weighty, I feel like.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's always good. You kidding me? That balloon with Danny Trejo? Get out of here. So they gave Gabby some really great lines here, just talking about how like divorce was really hard and like it kind of kicked her ass and she doesn't know if she wants to do it so soon. And she just has to be more sure. And they have this like adorable waffle bit where she's like, "Eat that gross breakfast." And he's like, shoves it in his mouth. And yeah. I'm like, this is cute. Like, I actually thought they were so cute. I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, this is kind of what happened with your feelings about Mike, right? I mean, I'm not saying you like Victor as much as Mike, because nobody can ever.
No one can compare to Mike.
To Mike. But you didn't like Mike at first, and he grew on you. And it seems like Victor and Gabby's chemistry is as well.
Yeah, I thought Victor was really cute. I was like, I love this. And then we go immediately to a man I don't think is cute at all.
So we then cut to Ian's ugly mug, as you just freaking said. Susan and Ian are taking groceries out of the car. And Ian spots Mike across the street and says to Susan, "Why don't we invite him to dinner right now? Perfect. Great." And as Ian goes to take one of the bags of groceries inside, Susan begins to bug out, and she runs all the way across the street. She sprints. She changes her shoes really quickly. Yeah, all fours, horse girl style. She's jumping. And she gets up to Mike, and she whinnies, and she is like, "Ian's gonna invite you to dinner. You have to say no. You're busy, okay?" And he's like, "What?"
This is the beginning. She should have known Mike was going to pull some shit at dinner, because this is the beginning of Mike being like, "I'm not fucking playing with anybody anymore.
I love not this fucking Mike."
We were going to talk about it, but the end of the episode, I was texting because I was like, this bitch, he brought his big wooden spoon. He said, "Where's that pot, baby? Because I'm going to fucking stir it like no one's business. I'm going to pour that shit all over the floor." Because he's literally just like, "Susan, I fucking love you. Of course I'm not going to." I don't even remember what he says here. I just remember him being kind of impish, because then when fucking Ian walks over, Susan tries to be like, he can't come to dinner. And Mike, because Susan didn't specify what night, he was like, yeah, I'm busy tonight. And then Ian says, what about Friday? And Mike's like, oh, I'm great for Friday, man. Yeah. Let's do this. I thought that was so funny, Mike just being like, yeah, fuck you. I'm going to come and I'm going to ruin your life.
Yeah, I love it. I loved this whole scene. I think some of the, like, I know you said you don't quite remember what Mike was saying.
I literally don't remember what he said.
Exchange. But I think it was just things, like, just him inquiring, being like, and why would it make you upset for me to come?
Yes.
Like, just stuff like that. Like,
yeah, he was like, oh, y'all talk about me? How much do you talk about me? Yes, I remember that. Oh, my God. Like, Mike is a fucking, truly a little devil in this episode. But before we get on to that, we see that Edie and Carlos arrive at a house that she's selling that belongs to this old lady, because we didn't super mention it, but in the other scene, they were like, okay, just keep our shit on the DL, we're going to find some other places to bone, which, like, my brain immediately was like, just fucking rent a hotel room. Edie acknowledges, like, I have all these houses around town that I sell, so I'm not going to rent a hotel room, but I wouldn't want to fucking random people's beds. People exist in those. Like, there was one time where they hop on a kid's bed. I'm like, excuse me?
Don't hop on a kid's bed.
That kid's gonna get in bed at night and be like, why does this sheet smell weird?
No.
And then you're gonna be like, you've ruined that child's life. Why won't they just rent a freaking hotel room? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
That's really all we get from that. It's just they're gonna fuck.
They're gonna start fucking in these houses. And
I think I wrote down, surely she is selling an empty house. Like, often realtors are selling houses that don't belong to other people. I don't know.
But then we cut to the Scavo household, not pizzeria. And Lynette is presenting the pasta dish to not only Tom, but the babies as well, to show off Rick's food and also say, I put this on the menu and also raise the price to $20 a plate. We should put it on the menu.
He made a risotto. That's a hard dish. A risotto.
Risotto. It's raw. Sorry.
It's raw. Tom is not into it. I'm very conflicted about my Tom feelings this episode, because his prideful bullshit annoys me. But by the end, I feel bad. This is his vision, his dream, and they are taking it over and making it something totally different.
Here is the thing. I understand, like, the place he is coming from. Like, yes, like, as you just said, this is his vision. This is his dream, as the show, like, will tell us in the end. And I'm sorry we're talking about this right now.
No, it's, but I don't give a shit.
It's something that he cares about. It's his business. It is his life right now. And it's something he can't work on and can't control. But there's also, like, you need to be able to take control of, like, the restaurant that you have, like, in a way that's just not screaming at people. You know, to get what you want done. You know, like, if things aren't working with Lynette and Lynette is trying to run a business, I'm sorry, Tom, to say, but maybe you need to fire your wife.
Yeah, and, like, I understand that, like, and I think that this is, like, admirable and cool, and I think that there is a way to do this. Like, yeah. He wants to have it to be, like, family food that's cheap. And, like, I think that's an awesome idea, and that's a great thing. But as we hear, like, pretty soon after this, when they're fighting, like, they haven't turned a profit at all, because when you're selling, you know, I mean, pizza's not too expensive to make, right? If you're making it from scratch, she's right. Like, four people, I think she says in this scene, four people order one pizza. That's basically no profit margin. But, like, if four people order four plates of risotto, that's $80, which is crazy. But that is what families spend when they go for a sit down dinner together.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. I think that they definitely are making it, like, by the end, it feels like they're very much making it, especially when Rick's like, we should light candles, we should have ambience. Like, it's a totally different restaurant almost that they're making. And I'm curious how far they're going to get before Tom intervenes. But,
well, yeah.
They need a profit. Their life savings are in this restaurant. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I understand needing to turn a profit. But yeah, it's just like, you are fucking with this guy's business. Like this is this guy's business. And, yeah, like, if you want to run this other kind of business, Lynette and Rick, you should be able to go off and do that. But, like, It's just like, if Tom is going to put up so much of a fight, you know, about this, I don't know. I just don't know how much it's worth it. But I think they're going to push it as far as they can before he can physically stop them.
Yeah, because I think that there is going to be a good, there's got to be a good marriage. Because, like, I go to plenty of family pizza places that have, like, pasta and other meals for when you want something fancier. And generally, it's just, like, literally a chicken Alfredo, some spaghetti and meatballs, some risotto. Like, it's not going to be anything crazy.
You know,
that's normal. That's totally normal.
You know, it would be awesome. You know, it would be a great team up.
Tell me.
It would be, you know, so Fairview, Wisteria Lane is in Illinois, right? Midwest. We love Mostaccioli. Catering. Do catering. And then if anything, you could get maybe, I just, like, you can get maybe Brie to help you out with catering in a way where, like, I don't know, like, I just know that she likes to cook. Or, like, if you need, desserts or something, like,
we
I don't know.
We haven't seen Brie in, like, 5,000 years, it feels like.
Yeah, she's gone. She's...
When is Marsha Cross going to have her babies and come back to us?
Season 4.
I miss her. I want Brie to come back. I miss her. So, yeah, I don't even know. We're getting into it. I'm interested to see where this is going to go, where it's going to land. I understand where Tom's coming from. I understand where Lynette's coming from. It is so complicated, and I do not envy them at all. The best part of this scene is little Penny speaks her first line of the series, and that fucking kid is so cute. I have baby fever right now. Every time I see a baby, I'm like, my head spinning off my shoulders, and that little baby is adorable. And we're moving out of that scene. We're going to come back to it a little bit later when the Scavos are fighting, as we mentioned. But first, we see Gabby go full quarterback because some dude knocks on Victor's door. We see the mezuzah. He insults Gabby and she snatches this folder from him. And we see that Victor is indeed being blackmailed with the images from the hotel. And like, as I said, Gabby fucking tackles this man to the ground. It's very awesome.
Lesbian of the episode.
Yes, I agree. I don't even think I have any nominees. So I would be so down with that being the winner. Do you have any other nominees?
I might have one. Oh, I have a Klusky Loat.
Ooh, okay, let's see. I mean, I do love Gabby tackling a man to the ground.
Yeah, Gabby tackles this guy to the ground, pulls his hair a little bit, and calls the police.
Oh, no, the police are driving by, and they see them. They do a bit where the police driving by. You know, they're... the police ask for the photo so that they can charge him, which we will see later backfires severely on Gabby. But alas... We see that later because we got to cut back to the Scavos right now.
Gotta cut back to the Scavos. And it is...
Sort of what we talked about earlier where they're fighting about the lack of profits.
Yeah. Right?
That's what's going on with Tom and Lynette, but there's other things going on with the baddies outside.
Yes. The baddies outside being the boys. We got these boys outside and they are angry. They want ice cream.
I want some fudgesicles.
I want some fudgesicles.
Dude, I would kill for a fudgesicle right now. You kidding me?
Oh, dude.
I would. You kidding me?
You kidding me? You kidding me, bro?
You kidding me?
But yeah, they want fudgesicles, and they know exactly where to get them. Klusky's basement. And Parker's the only one that's small enough to fit through the basement window. So he's going to be the one to take a little peeky at what's inside. Scarred
that
for
body.
Life. That child.
That body looks gross.
Listen, this child had to witness his friend get hit by a car, Mrs. Mulberry. Like, he has the loss of his friend.
And he is the most traumatized baby of all time.
Yeah, he had cancer for an episode.
I love how he just fully dissociates. Like, he just dissociates and then just, like, you can see him just vibrate out of his body and he does not go back in. And he just goes outside and the other babies are just like, oh, man, no ice cream. And Parker is an adult now. He is, like, seeing his entire life. I felt so bad for that baby.
Oh, yeah. And then.
Parker Nation. Rise up, Parker Nation.
And then,
that's still my favorite bit I think we've ever done.
We are a part of the Parker Nation.
That bit and the Susan flying on Valentine's Day are my
two
favorite
bits. That one's great. That one's great.
Throwback.
We go to Gabby, right? And Victor?
Yes, I want to say there's a typo in my notes, so it says baby is leaving her house. I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Gabby, though.
Yeah, baby's leaving her house. It's baby's day out. And she sees Victor, right? Victor kind of comes up and is like, hey, we got an issue.
I don't know. I just wrote that she sees the photos. I don't remember how she sees them.
Yeah, I just know that
she sees the photos.
The sex tape has been released.
We find out that the mayor is related to the police chief, so that's why the police chief leaked them. And once again, Victor being a great partner. What the fuck? I thought that was so sweet. Him being like, look, I care about two things in this world, my campaign and you. And if I'm losing one of them, it's going to be the campaign. And I was like,
yeah.
King.
That was awesome.
Woman. I can't believe I'm standing Victor. Who the fuck am I?
I mean, I don't know where he goes. Is he evil? This stresses me out. This is what keeps me up at night. I want everybody to know that. But
he
for now,
he's a politician, so he's innately evil in some way, but we don't know yet.
We cut to now Susan, Ian, Mike, and this woman. It's not dinner yet?
No, it's just, well, it's just invited to dinner first. It's just Susan and this and Maggie.
Oh, it's,
I wrote down.
Maggie, I'm sorry to this actor, to this woman. This is kind of like Danielle to me. She's kind of unmemorable.
Yeah, I didn't even know her name for a long time. And I literally was like, who the fuck are you? Is she the wedding planner? Or who is she?
Yeah. She is the she makes, she's making the cakes, I thought.
She's giving Susan like plates. So
oh, yeah.
She's also doing the food.
Maybe she is the caterer and they're just deciding on the menu.
I think so. Like, this was confusing. I think I might have blacked out when they may have explained who this person is, because when she shows up, I was literally like, she kind of resembled Kendra. And I was like, what? And so I was just like confused. I don't know. She was a confusing woman to me.
Yeah. And that's essentially that scene, Susan getting this date for Mike.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're single? Please come and fuck my ex-boyfriend. That'd be great.
So I don't have to.
so I don't have to, exactly.
And then we go to Parker Nation. He is staring into space, and when he notices just a blur, I assume in his vision, he assumes it's his mommy, and he goes, can we go see Mrs. McCluskey?
And they go, baby.
He gets her alone. I saw the man in your freezer.
Yeah, we don't get to see the explanation.
No. It sucks, but it's... I loved it. My lote nominee was just like, so we get, Lynette leaves the room, right? Because yes. Parker's like, I saw the man in your freezer. And Klusky's like, Lynette, can you go get some ice cream? And so Lynette leaves. And we cut. And it's just like, And that's why you have to, you understand why I did what I did, right?
And he looks giddy. He's like, yeah.
You it's understand like, you can't tell anyone, him? Right?
McCluskey is like the fucking witch with the apple. Snow White, like, hello, little boy.
Yeah, because when Lynette comes back, she's like, oh, you have pudding? Give it to the boy.
So weird. Hopefully we find out eventually what happened. But first, we have to see Edie and Carlos post-coitus. Edie's trying to be romantic. Carlos is just trying to get laid. And we get a pretty wonderful gay of the episode enters. I don't think we get this man's name, but he is a gay real estate rival of Edie's. And he walks in and he's like, oh, you slut. This is how you're stealing a deal. Or like, he's just, you know, being like a 2007 gay guy.
It is, yeah.
I thought this was fun. I was like, oh, I want more of him. Who is this guy? Excuse me? I need more of this gay real estate agent and Edie's antics, please.
Wait, him, Andrew, Vern, and Justin. Put them in a show.
They're the four
the new queer is. Folk.
Oh my god. Look, I would love it if like Edie and this gay guy were like on Selling Sunset, but it was like selling Fairview, and it was just like the fucking real estate hijinks of Fairview.
Oh my god.
So the big important part of this scene after the gay leaves and is texting the tea to everybody around town, Carla shows his hands a bit, because Edie is like, what the fuck's going on with you? Like, why can't we just tell people? And he's like, I don't want to piss Gabby off. And she's like, why would Gabby care? And he's like, I don't know. We've been getting along. And like, Edie calls him out on his shit and is like, you're in love with her, bitch. And I don't think she's wrong.
Yeah, this was a...
But I hate that for her.
Yeah, this was a little sad on both parts because, you know, I'm sad for Edie because she really wants this connection with Carlos. And I am sad for Carlos because in this moment he is realizing that, oh, Gabby has moved on. And yeah. And that's something that, yeah, it was wavering for a bit in a couple episodes ago, you know? Like it,
yeah, like there was the energy that they could get back together.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so from his point of view, he hasn't really seen her, talked to her since then, or really like talked to her about this guy. And so, yeah, it's just like a shock on both ends.
Yeah, so that's going on, and we cut to yet another very intense relationship situation for this foursome sitting down for dinner. Mike, Maggie, Susan, Ian. And this is kind of a long sequence, but the main of it is that Mike is doing his best to seem like the worst guy alive so that Maggie doesn't date him. I do love when he was like, well, the second time I went to murder or went to prison, it was wrong. I wasn't actually yeah. guilty, but the first time I was guilty for manslaughter, like that was absolutely wild. And Susan, my favorite part was when Susan tries to kick him through the table and she kicks Maggie.
Yeah,
and then Maggie goes, "I think that was for you." That was just, it was too much. It was too much, and basically, Mike is here. He has his bombs in his back pocket, and he walks up to Susan when they're alone, and he's like, I'm in love with you. I was going to propose to you. What would you have said? And Susan is just trying. I feel bad for Susan, and yeah. I actually liked her moment after dinner. I really did like this from her, because she's just, like, overwhelmed, and she's like, you need to fucking stop doing this. And Maggie brings in these cakes for them to try for the wedding, and they are immediately a metaphor for the men.
Do you want classic American or English toffee?
It was so on the nose. I thought it was fucking stupid.
I do want to try those cakes, though. They looked very delicious. Oh,
God, I would fucking do anything for a cake right now. I would love to eat. Am I going to go after this and go get some cupcakes or some shit?
Please, drop one off. Drop one off to me.
I would love a cake right now. I would kill for a cake. But I'm just thinking about cakes. What happens? I don't even know. Maggie says goodbye. It's a mess.
Maggie leaves and Ian follows her out to say goodbye. And when he comes back inside, Mike and Susan are whispering at each other in the kitchen. Susan, you get the sense that she wants Mike to kind of leave her alone, and Mike is just doing the like, oh, what would you do if I proposed to you? And yeah, Ian walks into that and he starts blowing his load.
Dude, Mikey Poo, he has some fucking like Looney Tunes, like old series Batman, big round bombs. And he is going, boof, 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 boof. And I loved it. I loved how he was like, look, man, I want to fuck your fiance. She wants to fuck me too, so deal with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, Mike. Holy shit.
And he puts it all on the table. He brings up the kiss, right? And he also brings up the poker game. And that's when Susan says, wait. Ian, you bet me in a poker game?
I fucking forgot about that, literally.
No, I've been waiting for this moment. I am so happy that the showrunners did not forget about this. And then
I was screaming.
Do you remember?
Whole time, I was just fucking screaming.
Can I ask you a question? Do you remember Ian's response?
No.
So she's
I was
she says,
just screaming. I couldn't even handle
she's
it.
She's like, you bet me in a poker game? And he's like, well, I never would have wagered you if I didn't have a good hand.
I didn't hear that. I did not hear that. oh my God, she is right for what she did, because I fucking love what she did.
Tell me what she did.
She was like, okay, here we go. Let me just go over here. Fuck both of you. I want you both to get out of my fucking house. I'm not going to marry you. I'm not going to look at you. I need you both to leave. And I love this for her. And even though I want her with Mike, they're both acting like immature fucking assholes right now. And Mike has a lot of apologizing to do. And Ian needs to GTFO. So I loved this for Susan. I loved her just being like, go away. I don't want either of you right now. And I just want, one, where the fuck is Julie? Because I would like Julie to be able to comfort her mother, just like her mother comforted her. I would have loved to have some Julie Susan stuff here, but yeah, I loved this.
We then go to Lynette and Rick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're eating, mm-hmm, and he's pouring wine, and they're having some pasta, and he's definitely hitting on her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crawling out of my skin there.
And then I kick him.
Yeah, I mean, not much happens outside of, they just have a lot of sexual tension.
Yeah, it's truly like they're kind of throwing, ending one love triangle and starting another, you know?
It's crazy. And like, look, Tom can annoy me sometimes, but I don't want Lynette to cheat on him. Like, I understand the appeal of Rick, right? Because he's an objectively attractive man.
He's smooth.
He can cook really, yeah, he's smooth. He can cook really well. He's confident. He's calm. He's making her feel beautiful. And when you've been married as long as Tom and Lynette, you know, when you're fighting and sometimes you forget to like remind your partner how much you care about them. And I understand that it's hard, but I don't want Lynette to cheat on Tom.
I'm trying to determine if I want it for the drama.
Ooh, what are you predicting? Do you think she's going to cheat? Yes or no, Ned's prediction corner, give it to me.
I think they'll kiss and she'll see it as cheating, but it'll be like he kissed her and it won't actually be cheating.
Mark that down, everybody. Mark that down. Ned's prediction corner.
So like she'll be really upset that she cheated, but he'll be like, it's fine, babe. Nothing actually happened. Except Tom would never do that.
Exactly.
But yeah, that scene is truly just sexual tension.
Sexual tension. And we cut to Tom laying in his little beddy by, also working on some bills. Mm-hmm. And Kayla, who I feel like we never hear from Kayla anymore. There was like the drama of her hating Lynette,
yeah,
that lasted for like two episodes. And then now Kayla does nothing all the time. What the
She's
fuck?
She's planning something. She's gonna kill. Yeah, she's gonna kill the boys.
They eventually walk into. Yeah, she made them break their arm. I forgot about that. Eventually, they're gonna like walk into Kayla's room, and there's gonna be just fucking red string all over the goddamn wall. And she's been like planning a full, full just murder of the entire Scabbos. But first, before she kills everybody, she has to walk in and read the review they got in the paper that was basically like shitting on Tom's concept and saying that now that their menu has been elevated, they're an amazing restaurant, and Tom's pride gets shot. And I would also feel like really shitty if this happened to me. So I felt really, really bad for Tom in this moment.
And then we go to a mayor conference, as one does.
As one does.
And the press is asking Victor about the woman in the photos, and they are implying and asking if she was a sex worker. Gabby gets very upset at those accusations and is like, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. It was me. I'm the woman in the photos. And we are getting married.
Oh, and she saves that press conference. Also, she drops her maiden name.
Yeah.
Gabby Marquez. I have not thought of her as anything but Gabby Solis.
It's beautiful.
So now she's going to be Gabby Lang. I wish the audience could see your face. Like, it looked like Ned had just eaten a whole lemon. Like, the way their face just squeezed in on itself. But yeah, she saves it. She's like, yeah, Everybody's into, because, you know, he's a family man now. He's going to be married, XYZ, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
You marry and vote for men who put women's honor first, which is why I'm running for state secretary, Gabby Marquez.
I could see Gabby going into politics. Yeah. I wonder if, like, that will happen through Victor, because I could absolutely see her being in politics.
That'd be funny. She's definitely going to get in or, like, there's going to be an episode revolving, like, politics wives, if anything.
Oh,
and then
absolutely.
We could possibly get more Gabby Brie content.
Give me some Gabri, please. Oh God, Brie, come back. We need you. Ida goes to drop off Klusky's mail and smells what I'm going to assume. I don't know how old this corpse is. Probably the most disgusting thing that anyone has ever fucking had in their nostrils. And she follows that disgusting smell down to the basement. We presume. We don't even see it. We just hear a scream from the home. And don't we, like, immediately see the cops arriving to McCluskey's hospital room?
Yeah. Klusky's arrested.
That is bonkers.
That takes us to the end of the episode, right? Or...
Yeah, there's that little moment you mentioned where Carlos sees that Gabby's engaged.
Yes.
So we get that little
thing. He sees
it
on the TV.
You mentioned that, yeah. And Edie kind of walks... I thought it was funny because Edie walks in and is like, have you heard? And she kind of does the, like, you know that gif of on 30 Rock where he's comforting her throwing up with a broom from, like, 6 feet? That's kind of what Edie did to Carlos. She was like, you okay? Like, it was the least caring I've ever seen anyone give to somebody. And... yeah, that does take us into the end of the episode because Lynette's leaving for work. Tom is just dissociating. He's so sad. And we see that Lynette is, like, wearing her hair down and wearing a bit of makeup. And I'm like, bitch. Bitch, I'm watching you. Mary Alice comes in saying power is the type of thing people don't think about until it's taken away with Tom. Or political power with Victor. I just wrote love's influence Mike question mark. I did not understand what she meant by that. Like the power of love's. I don't know. That was confusing for me. We also want power to give ourselves choices with Susan, and to be without choices is to be powerless. McCluskey, baby. She's in literal jail.
Yeah. Free her.
That's Free McCluskey. Wait, what if I made a shirt that's like just says Free McCluskey?
Yes.
And it's just a black and white photo of her that's like overly starched, like between bars.
Yes.
I'll make that today.
Limited edition. It's only up until she gets out of jail, which might be next week.
Yeah, I'll put it up in our store. Why not?
Heck yeah. And
that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Our lote is Gabby.
Gabby. Yeah, it's gotta be Gabby. That was so good. That was so good. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us.
Oh, yes. I forget that I'm the one who does the thing sometimes.
I can do it.
If you want to find us, go.
If you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter at Wisteria Gaze or on Instagram at Wisteria Gaze _. You can find us there or on our website. Wisteria.gay or WisteriaGaze.com.
And on that website, I'm Ned now. You can find our Discord where you can come and hang out and talk with us and other fans of the show, Desperate Housewives, and the podcast Wisteria Gaze, as well as our Patreon, which is a way you can give back to the show. It helps us support the show, and you're extra juicy, and we love you for it. And on there, we have episode show notes. We have ad-free episodes. We have various random things we put up, and we are kicking in gear doing some more watch-along episodes where we just watch movies. We have a very fun one that we want to do next that's going to be the stupidest movie any of us as a unit has ever seen. So we're excited to do that. And yeah, so just come over and hang. It's pay what you can, starting at $2, and you get access to all content. We don't have hierarchies here on our Patreon, so you can go to patreon.com/WisteriaGaze.
And part of those perks for Patreon is episode show note or shout outs. So we're going to shout out our patrons right now. So thank you to Amanda,
Annie,
Aubrey,
Kaylin,
Cheryl,
Drusilla LaFay.
Elise.
Aaron.
Helena.
Jade.
Kim.
Liv.
Lydia.
Nadia.
Sarah Schroeder.
Sarah Swihart.
Tom.
Victoria.
And Vincent. Thank you so much for being our patrons.
We love you.
Leave us a review on iTunes for 5 stars. It will make us very happy. We always answer questions at the end to get our juices flowing. And the question should be, how are you breaking Klusky out of jail?
How are you breaking Klusky out of jail?
I'm eating.
You're eating?
Yep. That's what I said, didn't I? I have to commit to it.
What are you eating? The bars? Or like, what are you eating?
I'm eating the jail.
You're eating the entire jail?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to recreate that scene from Austin Powers and Goldmember, and I'm going to visit her, put a key under my tongue and make out with her, and give her the key to the cell. Ned is as red as a tomato, just laughing their ass off right now.
So when you leave us a review, let us know how you're breaking Klusky out of jail. If you want to find me on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Garfield's Penis or on Instagram at Ned Jorts.
Oh, good Lord. Oh,
and Twitch at Horse Games Live.
You can find me on Twitter at Mackenzie Wilkes.
Mackenzie.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
I love you.
Everyone else out there, stay juicy.
Stay juicy,
bitches.